podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Well, Callum, here we are again. Another win, another goal from open play. We're getting good at this.
Absolutely mental weekend. Two wins in a row, two goals from open plays in a row. Newcastle won, Miami Heat won. Unreal stuff. Did you have a good weekend, Glenn?
Hey, you know that, well, we had a bit of mental snow, but we also had some good weather. You know, I had a bit of problems watching the game, I'll admit. I didn't do pay-per-view, and the stream I couldn't get until about the 40th minute. So I did watch Red TV's highlights, though, so I am informed. But yes, before you get into that, getting one up on me. But yeah, no, good weekend all round, and always helped. The mood's always helped by Aberdeen winning, I think. Don't you agree?
I would agree, and I'm glad you mentioned that before I got on my high horse and became even more insufferable than usual. But if you want to help me become even more insufferable, then don't forget to like the YouTube video, subscribe there as well, as subscribing or following wherever you're tuning in as well, as on Twitter at RTG underscore podcast. Remember the underscore this time.
Yeah, and as always, we do appreciate every bit of support that is shown to us. And I think, you know, by the time we next record an episode, Calm, we will have hit 10,000 listens, which is pretty remarkable. Not bad going for two specky guys just chatting nonsense about football.
Exactly, that's the brand, and we're sticking to it. And it's kind of working, so thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, and just on a different tone before we kind of get into the football, I just want to say, pay my respects to Duncan Skinner, who sadly lost his battle with cancer last week at the age of 63. I'm good friends with his son, Andy, so I just want to extend my condolences not only to Andy, but the Skinner family. You know, Duncan was the chairman of the Community Trust, for those that don't know, a non-executive board member, and he'd been chairman of the Community Trust since its founding in 2014. A well-liked guy throughout the club and the Community Trust especially. You know, I had a chance to speak to Liz Bowie today, the chief executive, just to run a few ideas past her, and also maybe to help with an future episode of the podcast. But, you know, it was quite an emotional chat for her. You know, obviously it's still all very raw. And, you know, the article I read today in the Press and Journal described Duncan as one of the good guys in the community. He was also chairman of Glencraft, the mattress place, you know, that offers jobs for the blind and disabled. And he always just had everyone else's best interests at heart and wanting to give back to the community. And for those of you that did know Duncan and maybe are on LinkedIn as well, will have just seen the outpouring of emotion there. So yeah, I just want to send my condolences and say to Skinner, you know, we're thinking of you and your family at this difficult time.
Yeah, 100%. Nice words there, Glenn. Obviously, didn't have the pleasure of knowing Duncan, unfortunately, but clear to see sort of from the outpouring, as you said, did a lot of good work in the community, and just a shame, gone too soon, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. And Duncan always had time for anybody if they wanted a word. So yeah, may he rest in peace there. Anyway, moving on to the football. We, like I said, you know, we got a second win, second 1-0 win, and a second goal from open play. Maybe keeping the race for third alive.
Just about, if we kind of can at this stage. Obviously now within 4 points of Hibs, given they lost at the weekend as well. So I think a good win. Maybe not the best performance, but just sort of the win we needed, I suppose, from Paul Sheehan's side before Stephen Glass comes in and works his wonders.
Yeah, and Sheehan signing off there with back-to-back wins as well. I think we can mutually agree, though, we were both surprised at the starting lineup. To see Matty Kennedy start first of all. Obviously, we know what impact he went on to have, so hindsight's a wonderful thing. Ross McCrory dropping into right back in place of Calvin Ramsey. And I think kind of expectedly, Flo Cambéry continuing to start up front given Callum Hendry's ineligibility. Were you surprised, though, to see one Kennedy get a start given his performance against Dumbarton and also McCrory drop out into defence?
I was very surprised and upset at the Kennedy start as well, as made myself look an idiot as well on Twitter about Hayes and McGinn.
Not often you do that.
all the time, every single week at this rate, but it's, at least it's there for entertainment at this stage. But yeah, it was a bit interesting that Kennedy was did come in. I thought Ross played well against Dumbarton, unfortunate not to keep his place. Even more unfortunate was Calvin Ramsey, but I suppose he did go off with that injury. I think it was probably just cramp. But if he's fit enough for the bench, would have liked to have seen him start. But I suppose McCrory did okay there.
Yeah, because, you know, I haven't seen much of the first half, barring what was on Red TV, but obviously Jack McKenzie coming in at left back seemed to do a solid job. I suppose, given Calvin Ramsey dropping to the bench, you touched on there about his injury, but I suppose it's possibly to a degree of protecting these younger players and not wanting to maybe flare up an injury, because he did get a decent amount of game time in the second half. You know, I was actually quite surprised at how early he came on, in particular given the game was only at 1-0. On Ethan Ross, I agree, you know, it was maybe a surprise given his performance against Dumbarton, but I think he was one of many that faded badly in that second half. And, you know, maybe Kennedy was allowed to be pushed further forward, and I think, you know, we definitely saw glimpses of his potential in that second half. And maybe he is better suited to being played in a further forward role than what he has experienced more times this season. Spit your words out, Glenn.
No, I definitely agree that he does look better with less defensive responsibility, maybe given a chance to sort of do his thing a little bit more. But just as you touched on him there, Jack McKenzie, another very, very worthwhile mention for him, because I thought he was brilliant again on the left side of the fence there. And that's despite Cornstein playing into trouble quite a lot. But he looks very, very confident on the ball, good going forward, as well as being solid defensively. And he's only going to get better with more game time. So glad to see he's keeping his place, and hopefully he'll carry on doing so.
Yeah, and I suppose it's also, given the amount of involvement from youth academy players in Saturday's game, it's just a testament not only to the youth academy and what they're producing, but hopefully encouraging signs for getting a manager in who likes to also develop youth and bring them through, that if there's more talent in there, that we might get to see that over the course of the remaining games of the season, but certainly into next season. So exciting times for a lot of people at the club.
Yeah, God knows we need it. Going forward, it is sort of it does seem very promising, and it's been a while since not a lot of young players have come through in recent times, not enough. It is good. It is good to see a few coming through now, and hopefully Stephen Glass is the man to sort of nurture that talent.
Yeah, and you know, you said it wasn't a great first half from Aberdeen. You know, we didn't have a single shot on goal, so no shots on target either. But St Johnston didn't half create chances. Chris Kane, probably a gilt-edged chance that he put over the bar, but question marks around whether he was onside or offside from the free kick. But we looked lively defensively to deal with other threats, Glenn Middleton's chance, and you want to highlight Dean Campbell's last-ditch tackle as well, don't you?
What a man he is. What a man he is. A great last-ditch challenge there. Superb work ethic from Dean to get back there. And after all this slander, I was only too happy to see him do that. And on a whole, I think he played pretty well throughout the whole game. A good performance. But you mentioned it there. Chris Kane's chance there showed the composure that I sort of display at fives. Genuinely woeful. Ballooned it over the bar. And I tell you who would have scored it. Callum Hendry would have buried it. Fact.
And what did you know, you said there about Dean Campbell's work ethic and getting back, obviously dealing with criticism that is probably aimed his way after the Dumbarton game. How, you know, overall, how do you feel he affected the tempo of the game? Because people I've seen have commented that the role he plays, he's kind of got to be the kind of dictator in getting our tempo of play up to a sufficient speed, getting that ball moving forward, seeing the passes, which he tends to do quite well, I feel. Do you think he improved that from the week before?
Yeah, that is a fair assessment. I think he did look a bit better in there. I thought particularly looked better alongside Just Ferguson with McCrory at right back. They seemed to work a little bit better, a little bit more room to operate in there. And it was definitely an improvement, and hopefully something we can see him build on. It'd be good to see him to be a bit more brave on the ball, forward passes, dictating play, as you say. So fingers crossed, with more time, with more games, he will do that. He'll grow in confidence and build on these sort of performances.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we needed something second half to create a spark, to get a goal that would keep any faint hopes of finishing third alive. We saw Fraser Hornby come back into the side at halftime for probably an anonymous Flo Cambari. Is that safe to say for in the first half?
Yeah, genuinely woeful. And as someone pointed out, wearing gloves and long sleeves in April, not even, it wasn't even snowing that day. So very, very poor all round. And also, I will mention this, Dean Campbell, short sleeves once again, super, best player in the world.
But how disappointing is it for a kind of player that we saw have a lot of potential at Hibs and, you know, kind of fooled us into a false sense of excitement on transfer deadline day? Cambari, apart from a couple of games where he linked up well with Lewis Ferguson, it's really flattered to deceive, hasn't he?
Yeah, I did get really excited when we signed him on transfer deadline. Whether that was just because we'd signed a striker that I'd heard of, that like that was good. But, you know, he has flattered to deceive, which is a bit worrying. And sort of both times in the last two games where he's come off, we have looked better for it, which is probably even more of a concern. But on that, Hornby did come on, play 45 minutes, good 45 minutes in the leg. And it was actually, as I said, a good 45 minutes for him.
A good 45 minutes for him, but also a good 45 minutes for Aberdeen, because we looked kind of threatening going forward for a rare change. We had someone that was there as a target man up top that could flick the ball on to runners, which we obviously saw resulting in the goal, but also someone that could hold up the ball and bring other players into it as well. And for me, that's kind of the Fraser Hornby I've seen when I've watched Scotland under 21s. You know, the only time we really saw it for him was when he then got injured trying to take a shot on. So, you know, it's good. Hopefully he can get a few more minutes and we can see more of Fraser Hornby throughout the season in the Scottish Cup and obviously the running in the league.
Mm-hmm. More of those luscious locks, please. It'd be good if you could... We had that chance later on with him. If he could start burying those as well, that would be lovely. Going in towards, I keep saying this, going in towards the running. We're running out of time though. That's a problem.
We're already running in the running.
Basically, sprinting. Well, dawdling, really.
Yeah, exactly. What about that chance then? Because I was going to come on to that later, but I suppose we'll talk about it just now. Should he have scored?
It was a good ball. I don't think he had a lot to aim at though. Maybe he should have hit the target, but I think that near post was the only place he really could have gone. Xander Clark coming back across. Unfortunately, I would love to have seen the net bulge. It would have been great, but should have hit the target definitely. Scored, we'll see. I say we'll see. Yeah, we saw we missed. He missed, so that's a good one.
Yeah, I think he should have definitely hit the target with the header. And I think Steve Tosh was right in commentary there, saying I think he was half expecting Xander Clark to come out and absolutely clobber him. Xander Clark just stood and made himself big. And obviously the ball went into the side netting instead. But good to hear that his appearance on this podcast didn't affect his chances on getting back onto Red TV and Steve Tosh.
Oh, no, I know. First, I thought he did pretty well as well, actually, Steve Tosh. Quite enjoyed him being on there. Anyone at home, if you're not tuned in to the Steve Tosh podcast, feel free. I'll leave a link at the end of the video on the big end screen bit so you can just click on it and go and watch that after that. But no, I thought he did very well. Very, very fair assessment. It's just good to hear our mate Tosher on there.
Yeah, it's good to get some honesty around incidents as well. Earlier in the second half, there was claims for a penalty when Craig Conway handballed from the corner when it was getting cleared. Penalty for you?
Not for me. I think soft. I think very soft. And that's not like me. Usually I'm, if it's the other end, they'll be... But, no, I think soft for me. What about you? What are you thinking? Penalty?
Like I said, I had the stream on. I was half paying attention. And when I saw the incident, I was very surprised that there wasn't a lot of appeals coming from the Aberdeen players, but also it was kind of one of those that you've seen given, and I wouldn't have been surprised to see given, because his arm does come out in a way of trying to control the ball. So Yeah. For me, I would have wanted that as a penalty.
I think soft, definitely not as much of a penalty as the bloody one on Sean Longstaff. I tell you that much. Him getting kicked in the head. What was that about?
Yeah, just as well we don't have VAR, and well, VAR in Scotland. Had been interesting to see what that decision would have been given if that had gone to VAR.
You know, what a shambles that is anyway. I hope we never have enough money to afford it.
No, hopefully not. On the goal though, well worked piece of skill. Ball up to from McCrory, flick on by Fraser Hornby. And I thought really good work from Matty Kennedy just to get his body in front of this St Johnson player to kind of shield and protect the ball before going on a driving run and outside of the foot pass into the path of Johnny Hayes, who does finish it well.
Yeah, two men I was critical of.
You were? Four.
Yeah, to you. thought Matty Kennedy, yeah, it was a great ball from him, as you said. It's similar to sort of Alioski of Leeds at the weekend, outside the boot ball there. I don't know, I was watching all the football this weekend. It was great. But no, and Johnny Hayes, I think he maybe got a little bit lucky. Rooney did get a little touch on it.
Yeah.
But he still showed the composure, good strength to hold him off in the first place. And good finish. Fair play to Johnny. I mean, I've been one of his critics in recent weeks, but if he does that, I will accept when I'm wrong.
Yeah, I did think that on the replay that he definitely got lucky with probably his second touch getting it coming back into his path. But when it comes back into his path, how well he then finishes and just kind of he puts his laces through it, and but with enough technique to make sure it's not just blasted at the keeper and that. So, yeah, good. And, you know, fair play. I think, you know, I was in commentary, they said, you know, we were nervous towards the end of the game. And you could see that we were definitely a team that is not used to seeing out games because we've not been in the lead for that long in previous games anyway. And obviously, that's only our second goal in 11 games. But were you impressed with the way we saw out the game, or causes for concern?
A bit stressful towards the end, Glenn, won't lie. A little bit stressful, giving up a couple of chances. Ali McCammon in particular, thankfully, big Joe bailed us out. I'm just glad we did hold out. I'm not saying I was confident that we were going to. I thought we looked a little bit ropey at times, but we got away with it, and I'm just happy that we did. No more complaints from me.
Yeah, I think the one sloppy moment we had, obviously the Ali McCann chances you've referred to, but the real one that I think St Johnson will be kicking themselves for was when Sean Rooney hit the post. You know, Conor McLennan, a heavy touch, giving the ball away and the ball going straight down that side of the pitch and whipped in. And I think if you watch one of the replays, I don't know what Considine is doing when the ball is whipped in. He just bows and the ball flies over his head. And Jack McKenzie shadows, I don't know if it was Guy Melamed or not, but he shadows the one St Johnston player that's already in the box. But Johnny Hayes is badly ball watching, and Sean Rooney gets up and bullies him and powers the header. And I think Sean Rooney's really unlucky to see that rebound off the woodwork. But so's Johnny Hayes, because that's a really poor defensive lapse. I mean, Rooney against Hayes in the air is not really a contest.
No.
But just disappointing to the, if we did concede from that, that was down to just us switching off.
Essentially, yeah. I'm first of all going to look forward to watching back you bowing. Brilliant, can't wait for that. Anyone listening, and recommend you go and check out the YouTube video just to see that alone.
Yeah, especially with a spotlight going to be on my massive forehead, just as well I hadn't shaved my head before this, so exactly. It'd be now a big glare.
Exactly, but I think you are right. We got away with it, I think, just about there. That was sort of one where you look at it and it's Sean Rooney definitely wanted it more, didn't he? Very, very unfortunate, but you know, you make your own luck, don't you now? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've got to in this kind of end of the season if you want to be in with a chance of finishing third. And that was really the kind of luck that we've lacked in recent weeks, we've probably lacked luck in front of goals. God, that's a good tongue twister. I'll try that one after a few drinks. But, you know, fair play to Paul Sheeran and the team. You know, we adjusted, we went 1-0 up, and we saw it out. And we're still there. Were you surprised, though, given with 15 minutes to go, that we made the change in bringing Calvin Ramsey on for Niall McGinn and Conor McLennan in place of Matty Kennedy? Because for me, I mean, it's great to see the trust being given into those players, but it's a long time in a game that was kind of finally poised.
Was finally poised, yeah, on a knife edge, I suppose you could say. But I suppose some fresh legs in there would help, some tiring legs perhaps. I'm just honestly just happy to see us make changes early on, Glenn. Yeah. I won't lie to you. And they worked. It's good, and it's good to get Calvin Ramsey some more time as well. He'll only be better for that sort of experience too. And I suppose Conor McLennan to get his feet and brain in order. See if they'll link up once upon a time.
Yeah, hopefully soon. And then obviously Ethan Ross getting a few minutes as we ran down the clock. And I know you probably wanted more minutes for him, but a good tactical sub just to see out the end of the game there.
That's sort of the more the substitutions we're sort of used to, isn't it?
Well, given the news at the weekend as well of Prince Philip's death, there was talk of our cup game, whether that would go ahead. It has been moved from Sunday afternoon to Saturday at 5:30. And it's the dawn of a new era. Stephen Glass begins his reign as Aberdeen manager.
That was a brilliant little segue you got there. Dawn of the new era as well. It's good tagline.
I thought that was maybe good for the title of the podcast, you know.
There we go. Well, as people listening, watching will know. Who knows? I like that. Good shout. But 5:30, on a Saturday night. All I'm going to say is, imagine if we were there and a new manager, 5:30 on a Saturday evening. That would be excellent. But I'm weirdly excited. I'm up for it. I'm looking forward to see, well, if he has any impact so quickly. But regardless, it's just something new, isn't it? A different kind of Saturday.
Yeah, see if we get any new managed bounce. And I suppose we should, you know, mention the AFC 118 event that the club have done, given it's the 118th birthday of the club on Wednesday, the 14th of April. And the club tried to sell 20,000 virtual tickets at £1 a go, with, you know, six top prizes, including £1,000 cash, signed tops, a tour of Cormac Park with the new manager as well. And at time of recording, which was Monday evening, there was less than 500 virtual tickets left. And Calum, I think that's just quite testament of the response to something like this from the fans, that obviously, it's not really clear where the funds are going, but I'm sure if you asked if that was funds just to help the club, we would still seen a response like that. And that, in these times, it's great to see.
Definitely. We've seen a lot of teams sort of selling virtual tickets for various things in recent times. But yeah, as you said, not sure where the money's going. Maybe going into Dave Cormack's Rowie Fund, after you posted it later on. By the way, looks delicious, 10 out of 10. But no, it is great to see people getting in behind the club and putting their hands in their pockets after what has been a hard time, not only for them, I suppose, but for everyone around the world. Oh, there you go. A poignant note there.
We know not every club's fans are prepared to save their club when it matters most. So,
but hey, the less we say. Just...
Anyway, but no, it is exciting with a new manager. He'll have, hopefully, 8 games this season. If he is in charge for 8 games this season, that will mean we are in the Scottish Cup final. Okay. And it is the Scottish Cup where he begins his campaign, as we've said, home to Livingston. Livingston coming into this game on the back of a 6-0 defeat at Parkhead. Calum, you watched the highlights of that as well. What have you got for us on that?
They looked bloody shambolic at the back. Absolutely dreadful. It was a very much exhibition-type match, going by the highlights. Celtic absolutely in cruise control. Could have been way worse than 6 if it wasn't for Robbie McCrory between the sticks as well. And Effie Ambrose did gift Celtic a goal. as well, which was funny. I hope that does happen for us this time, this weekend. That would be nice, good old Effie. But yeah, Livingston, an absolute disaster at the back there, even more so than us. So hopefully, same again this weekend. That would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange kind of few months Livingston have had. You know, they went on this imperious run when Martindale took over. They got to the cup final and then shit the bed, you know, in true Aberdeen fashion in a final at Hampden. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of never recovered since. And I've been on a really poor run of form. Obviously, they had the falling out between Scott Robinson and the manager. I think that's around him not wanting to sign a new contract, so he's not been playing. And, you know, they've been finding goals hard to come from. We know all about that. But defensively, a team that is kind of known for being defensively solid are suddenly leaking goals. You know, just look back to the Scottish Cup in the previous round. Wraith took them to extra time. So hopefully, you know, there's going to maybe be some signs of encouragement from an Aberdeen viewpoint this weekend.
I think the Robinson thing's huge. He looked like a massive threat for them, especially in that run that they put together. But at the other end as well, it has been pretty bad. That against Celtic, okay, Celtic do have the capabilities to turn up on their day and tear any team apart, but it was not good whatsoever. And as I said, without Robbie McCrory, it could have been even worse. And he conceded six still. So, there you go.
And I suppose, though, you know, we do, with it being a cup game, it is a one-off. Anything can happen. And you know, given there's no replays now, it will be played into extra time and penalties. Hopefully, we don't need to endure that. I don't really know what to expect from us, though, this weekend, because it's a new manager. You never know what to expect. Do you think Stephen Glass will want to try and keep it relatively the same, or... we really don't know, do we?
It's very hard to know how it will go. I suppose in terms of personnel, he'd probably go more of the same, because Sheeran had been sort of bringing in some of the younger players as well, and that's something Glass will probably look to do. Be interesting to see in terms of style of football if that changes anytime. It'd have to be a very, very quick turnaround before the weekend. It's just wait and see, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not sure when his quarantine ended, so how many training sessions he will have had with the players, or if you know, he's been kind of giving Sheeran and Robson ideas to try and implement on the training field. Who knows? Obviously, Jack McKenzie, will remember this time, will be ineligible for the game. Do you think we'll see Johnny Hayes drop back to left back again?
It's just as well you mentioned that, because honestly, I'd have probably would have forgotten again. I think Johnny Hayes will drop back. So that maybe does make room for one of McLean? Who the hell is McLean? Kenny? McLennan or Ross. Honestly, Jesus, I don't know what's happened there. It might make room for one of those to come back in if Johnny Hayes drops back. And other than that, I can't see too much rotation between now and then. I don't know, maybe go two up front. Hendry might be back in.
Yeah, I think the only thing I can see being rotated is Calum Hendry coming in for Camberry, possibly, because he's really offered us nothing. Or do you then do, like you said, two up top, go Hendry and Hornby? And we know that Hendry's got pace about him, and we saw on Saturday what Hornby can do with his flicks and his hold-up play. It's really kind of interesting, because up the top is where we've struggled, and we're limited with what we've got. And in the next 4 to 5 days, what can a new manager do with limited ability? It's going to be an interesting one. I think that's what makes, from an Aberdeen point of view, Saturday's game, like you said there, exciting, because we don't know what to expect. We don't know what he will do. And yeah, it's a cup as well, and everyone is excited about winning the Scottish Cup.
I was just about to say, the fact that Scottish Cup ties has a little bit extra to it as well, to see how it goes. But I suppose it is just wait and see. It will be a very, very interesting watch, I feel like.
And then I suppose the news also came coming out last week, how the Scottish Cup final, obviously we may or may not get there, hopefully we do, but it will be without fans, because of it being Hamden being handed over to UEFA for preparation for the Euros. Is that something that you were kind of expecting anyway, or disappointing to hear that we can't maybe move it to another ground and host it there with the potential for limited numbers of fans if it was allowed?
Yeah, I am disappointed. Especially since if there are going to be fans at the Euros in summer. Do you know if they gave any reasoning as to why they can't really move it to another ground? Because I suppose, well, one of Celtic or Rangers might be there. That's a might. The other one definitely won't be there because they're about to play each other.
They haven't contacted the SRU because a fee would be involved in hiring the ground. Is the only kind of reasonable explanation I can think. And yeah, it's just a shame because the Scottish Cup final is the showpiece event of the season. Hearts and Celtic did serve up a cracking final the back end of last year. But it's just not the same when fans aren't there to see their team lift silverware. And for me, you know, if we got to the Scottish Cup final, it would be an achievement in itself. But I really don't know how much I could enjoy the day knowing that I wouldn't be there to see it.
I think it wouldn't be the same if we were there. If Aberdeen got there,
especially
if
we were to win it, you know.
Exactly, it definitely would be the same if Aberdeen got there and the. Even if you did get to go and the limited fans and sort of all the rules and regulations that would be in place for that, it would not be the same at all. But I think that even a limited amount would make a difference. It just adds a little bit of something else. So it is very, very disappointing in that case. But I suppose it's just taking everything by ear and see what happens. It might change between now and then. Who knows, I suppose.
It might do, yeah. And hopefully, you know, this time next week when you're either listening to us or watching us, we are speaking about progression in the Cup. That'd be nice.
It'd be very, very nice. And we'd be cheerful as well. So that'd be even better, wouldn't it?
I know it'd be a surprising hat trick. And, you know, like I said, at the start, you know, nearing 10,000 listens, we've got another former player lined up. God, that's next week. We're doing that. Time flies when you're having fun.
I know, I'm looking forward to that. What's it called? Caught up on us. I don't know what the word is. Sprang up on us, that's it.
You know, that'll be a good one and it'll be something to get out. We might even save that one till the end of the season to kind of keep you up to date with some Don's content during the Euros if you're wanting before hopefully our European campaign gets underway as well. And if you are interested in hearing more about the Community Trust, why don't you comment on the YouTube video or give us a tweet, as Calum said, at @RTG_podcast. Let us know. And that's something we are definitely keen to explore and do to kind of find out a bit more about what they do, who they help, because maybe not everybody does know about it. And it's good to let them tell us their story as well.
Definitely, I think it'd be interesting for even me to find out a little bit more about it. But whilst you're letting us know in the comments down below as well, don't forget to leave a like on the video, subscribe as well as following us wherever you're listening in to. And thank you very, very much for doing that, listening and watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.